Good morning again.
Good morning.
Okay. Today is 11/15/2020. Give me five, four times. As you all know, I'm not the pastor, just one of the assistant pastors, but I'm Paul Baalbek III for anybody that'll be watching the video. I'm filling in for Pastor Ricky today. He's supposed to be in Tennessee. Somebody said now that he didn't go there. He went to some other state. I don't know. But anyway, we'll keep him in prayer that God uses him mightily there. And I pray that as I offer my body to God, that Christ who lives in me will express his truth and his love out of me through his Holy Spirit. We've prayed already, so the name of my message is going to be Adjustment to the Holy Spirit. How do we go from knowing our positional sanctification? Now, let me explain what sanctification means. I think most here should. If not, you want a real in-depth talk about it, talk to Dave or Boyd over here later. But sanctification is being set apart. That's all it means. Every believer is a saint. You know, it's not someone 200 years after they live and a church, I forget what they call that, but they declare them a saint. And then supposedly they did some miracles. Every believer, Paul writes to the saints in Corinth, right? So sanctification, there's like two different kinds. There's positional sanctification, and that's in your identity. You're a saint. You were set apart how? By the Holy Spirit. The moment you believe the gospel, Holy Spirit came and sealed you. You're set apart. You got God's ownership, his seal of approval on you, because you're righteous in Christ now, and he's made you alive. You got his DNA. How you like? You want to search your roots? Look, check out your DNA. Search your spiritual roots. The day you trusted in Christ, that's who you are now. You're a child of God. So, the moment we trusted in Christ, we're personally, we're set aside in Christ, set apart, not set aside. A little different. Israel's been temporarily set aside. But then positional sanctification is living that out in our daily lives. So I hope that's a clear definition of it. So how do we go from knowing our identity or our positional sanctification to what you call practical sanctification? From knowing of it to experience it in our walk. Think that's an important question that we should know? I think it's real important. Because you got a lot of people, what I call doctrine heads. They know all the doctrines. And then you get the opposite, those who don't never believers, but they never really grow in their spiritual walk because they don't get into the Word. And then you get those who get in the Word, but are they applying the Word to the details of their lives? You know, you got to get into the Word to have our minds renewed, right? So we're transformed from within, and it should be expressed out of us. So, again, how do we get from knowing of it to experience it in our own spiritual walk? First, we need to know who we are in Christ, right? And we're going to look at that in a sec, but first go to 1 Corinthians 14:37. I'm going to mention 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have to rightly divide the word so we can find out where to go for our instructions in the body, to the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, right? I got this, you know, there's certain verses you should really memorize. This one by Paul, I have it memorized, and I'm just going to mention the lot. Well, Paul says, if someone thinks themselves a prophet or spiritual, that let them acknowledge that the commands he gives them are the commands of Christ, or the instructions. But I should memorize a little bit better, right? But we get our commands, our instructions from Paul. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, right? The apostle to the body of Christ. He received it from Christ, right? Not in his earthly ministry. We all know that here, right? It's in his heavenly ministry. And Christ reveals it to Paul over probably a 30-year period of time. From Acts 9, when Paul got saved, the body of Christ began with Paul. He said, what? He's a pattern for those who would believe after, thereafter, right? He was saved completely by grace. Christ's worst enemy, right? And he saves him, right? So then, probably over 30 years period, in the book of Acts, from Acts 9 to Acts 28, Paul is receiving more and more doctrine, truth, grace truth about the body of Christ, to the body of Christ. And then he's writing letters. So we go to his letters to get our direct instructions. But all the Bible's for us, right? But it's not all to us and about us. 12:13 says to the nation Israel and their earthly prophetic program. 1:13 says us. But you ever wonder why Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer? That should be a question people should look at. Let's go to go to Ephesians chapter 1. You know what? I brought the wrong what I was going to preach on. I was kind of using some of this, but I know in my mind what I had been praying. Like, you know, when you get called to fill in, you know, I'll fill in for Dave or the pastor, and I'm always excited, but then you start praying, God, what do you want me to preach on? Don't worry, Bill, I'll get to you. I come up short every day. I know. He's waiting. This is like a hawk waiting there. And so I was just trying to think and praying, and then, you know, I always depend on the Holy Spirit. It's not, I don't hear a voice. But it was on my mind about application of God's grace. I think that lacks in a lot of our lives. And none of us does it perfectly. We all, Bill, come up short daily, right? But it's a goal to grow spiritually in our walks. And when you know your identity in Christ, you realize he can use you, that you're totally justified, that he sees you clothed in Christ Jesus, that God made him, Christ, to be our sin. So he bore all of our sins, past, present, and future, 2,000 years ago, right? So we could become the righteousness of God in him. So if you're in Christ, you're the righteousness of God. You're totally righteous. God can use you. Now we need to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And when you do that, you start walking more and more consistently in that. And I was thinking, too, about this message. I need to hear it. Because we don't always apply everything we know, right? And if I need to hear it, I know y'all need to hear it, too. So Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to go probably at verse... I'm not going to dwell on this, but I'm just... want to take a look at, this isn't all of, you know, there's about 100, or some get 100. I had 45 spiritual blessings. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing we got. And there's different things in our identity in Christ, and you'll find them in Paul's epistles, but Ephesians 1 gives us a little highlight, a little spiritual treasure. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, see that? He always reminds people who they are, believers. Because, you know, an unbeliever, before God, they're in filthy rags. All of our good works as unsaved person are as filthy rags before God. Those in the flesh cannot please God. I don't care how religious you are, how much money you give. I don't care if you're a pastor preaching. If your trust is not in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ's finished work alone, you're as lost. There's going to be, I put a post on Facebook yesterday, how many millions and millions in hell that were religious good people? There's a lot of religious, morally good people. Think of maybe had a grandma that wasn't saved, you know, sweet, you know. But they've never trusted in Christ. They might have been under their religion and trying to cover up their nakedness before God with fig leaves of religion. And so, but believers, now you're a saint. Does it make sense for a saint to just go about sinning?
No.
See what I'm saying? About knowing your identity in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. And in many manuscripts, it doesn't have, which are in Ephesus. So the idea, this is to saints every place, actually. But this is probably the letter where in Colossians, Paul says, read this letter, and then also the one to the, I think, Laodiceans. And so it's a circular letter. They're like sister epistles. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that word faithful has the idea, full of faith. It's not that these were perfect saints in their practical sanctification. Practical sanctification. But how were they full of faith? Where's faith come from? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So these saints were into the word. Okay. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Paul starting to get going. It's like when you're studying, right? You start like, wow, God, you're so cool. You're so wonderful. You're awesome. You're so wise. You know, and Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he did. Remember when we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made you alive. Spiritually alive. So Paul, he's thinking about all these things. And I believe he's excited when he's writing it. Who has? See, the moment you trusted in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. So in Christ, if you're blessed with all spiritual blessings, you got to do as I was taught as a young Pentecostal. Do you get Christ and then go seek the Holy Spirit? No, Paul's going to tell us we're sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment we trusted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Christ. Why are you complete? Because you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. Can I get a praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Ouchah. I know it's early. And he says, according as he has chosen us in him. Now, this ain't Calvinism. He's writing to believers, right? He's not saying God chose an unbeliever to be saved. He's chosen us in what was that whole hidden body of truth in time past that we would what? According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What? What did he choose us that what? Believers should be holy and without blame before him in love. How's God looking at you today? As holy. Accepted and the beloved. The good news? Because Satan beats us up, man, in our failures, and he tries to get us focused on our failures. And we need to learn like Paul, right? To take every thought captive, right? To put on that spiritual armor. To forget the past and press on. Redeem the time while we're here, right? Having predestinated us, what? On the salvation? No. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The adoption of children is the idea God declared you a full-grown son, if you want. A full-grown, not a little child adopting. That's the idea here. With all the privileges and rights of being his child. You know, you got an adult child, right? You got an adult child. I'm looking at Jacob, my stepson. He is, sometime, you know. Might not always act like it, just like I don't. Well, I don't either before my father, right? You don't always act like it. But when you're not acting like it, does that change your DNA?
No.
Your spiritual DNA? No. And that's what God does. That's why it's so important to get into the Word, rightly divide it, know your identity. Because instead of God, Satan's going to condemn you. He's going to try and shame you and blame you. That's why you got to put on that helmet of salvation, knowing you're saved by grace through faith, knowing who you are in Christ. But the Holy Spirit is going to take the Word of God, bring it to your mind. It's like a mirror. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ, right? And he's reminding you, this is who you are. And then, you know, you might think, well, why am I acting like that then? I'm a butterfly. Why am I acting like an old hairy caterpillar? And then we don't like to be thought of as we're acting stupid. But we do many times, right? We like to think we're smart. We like other people to tell us, oh, you're really an intelligent person, aren't you? Or have you ever had anybody tell you that, big man? Little big? Just playing with you. I got to have some fun up here too, you know, guys. It says, having predestined us to adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure. It was his will to make you his child, to make you complete in Christ. He knew what he was doing. People say, watch that grace stuff. You just teach people to go sin. That's not what Paul tells us through the Holy Spirit. Through Paul, he says grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live upright and godly, to be zealous for good works. We should be zealous for good works as grace believers. But why? Out of gratitude. Out of thinking, God can use me. He can use me while I'm in this world. You can make a difference. You're a light in this world. Or we can have the attitude, hey, I just want to have a good time while I'm here. This is my world. You know, that's the fleshly thinking. I really think after we come to church, and it's very important to me, some, even grace believers, don't think it's important to assemble in churches. I just wonder why Paul wrote so many letters to churches and about churches. That's not important. But it's not just coming in and assembling. You're supposed to be getting equipped. Not just sit in the pew and be a pew warmer. And, you know, and it's nice to fellowship. I love our fellowship afterwards, you know, before. But now get equipped. And you should be thinking, now we're going into the mission field. Amen. Redeem the time. Christ is coming back. You don't know if it's today, tomorrow. You know, somebody said before that plan your lives as if he's not coming back for 20 years, but live it today as if he's coming back today. In verse 6, look at Paul's got this praise going on. To the praise of the glory of his grace, glorious grace, wherein he has, past tense, made us accepted and beloved. What are you before God? Say it.
Beloved.
Accepted in the beloved. You're beloved. You're beloved by God. He's not disgusted with you. Ain't you glad about that? I am, because, you know, when you've been under legalism, beat up spiritually every week, daily, if you want, man, you appreciate the freedom of grace. That you're free to serve, that God can use you. Because I used to think, when I went to church, and the preacher, he get preaching, boy, he had his spiritual whip out. And I felt like he was looking at me most of the time. And I would be scooting down to my seat, and feel and condemn. And when you get freed from that, let me move that date so it ain't in here. How does it feel to have a hard time seeing law? I experience it all the time. So I appreciate, you know, when you've been on one side of the aisle, when you grasp grace, you appreciate it so much more. Some people, because they were brought up in a grace church, it's just like, I asked Bob George one time, someone who was very effective in my early Christian life, to start seeing the word rightly divided, learn my identity in Christ, finality to cross, reality to resurrection. And I says, is there anything I can pray for you for? And he says, yeah, that I don't never get apathetic about God's grace. And so I thought, that's a good prayer. Yeah. He says, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have forgiveness. That's why we don't ask for forgiveness. You thank God for some. That's a wonderful gift. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. See, God knew what he was doing. That's why when people say, oh, watch that grace stuff, God says, yeah, watch that grace stuff. Learn it. Study it. And what else? Apply it. But, you know, when the legalists say, hey, brother, you got to watch that grace stuff because you'll just teach people to sin. God knew what he's doing. See, legalism is bondage. It doesn't free people to sin. What does Romans 6:14 say? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace, right? You want to be free from the sin bondage? Get yourself walking under grace. Amen. Want to get under sin's bondage? That's a sin nature's bondage. Get yourself under legalism, the law. Any type of system that you're trying to get earn God's acceptance by. Having made known, in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery, see, this is part of that sacred secret that Christ gave Paul, of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And this is future. This is after the rapture, this 7-year tribulation, Christ comes back and he brings in the kingdom for Israel, then the millennial reign. Then you're going to have the fullness of times when he brings all things in heaven and earth together. Christ will rule heaven through the body of Christ. We'll be in positions of authority. That's why it's important to redeem the time now. You know, we're going to be in heaven a long time. And he's going to rule the heavens through the body of Christ and the earth through the nation Israel, and instrumentality of them. That in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven. See, that's the body of Christ, and which are on earth, even in him. See, you can be in him. Paul talks about others who were in Christ before him. You can be in Christ according to prophecy, them are them Pentecostal believers, or according to the revelation of the mystery, being in Christ. That began with the Apostle Paul, actually, the body of Christ there. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Praise God. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works out all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. Heaven is guaranteed. You're already, as Paul calls us, citizens of heaven, right? So that's part of our identity. You're accepted. You're forgiven. I could go to Romans 5:1, how we're justified. We have peace with God. We're justified through his blood, right? That's how God sees you. You're his child. You're a new creation. And so, go to Colossians 3. We're going to start in verse 5 through 10. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. One more time, honey. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Paul says, mortify. So that means put to death. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, evil conscience, whatever that is, and covetousness, which is idolatry. See, it's putting anything before God. And sometimes we do that in our lives. It shouldn't be. For which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, see what he said? Who's supposed to put to death and mortify? We are, right? But you're going to see something. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So there's our responsibility, right? But never think we can pull off in our own strength and our determination and our own commitment what God calls us to do. We got to depend upon Christ in us. But by faith, you step out in that. See, it's one thing knowing the doctrine. When I was in the hospital, I can use this my whole life. 4 months in pain and in the rehab and wound care. And I knew about I can do all things through. I know the verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my weakness, Christ's powers may manifest. But I had to apply it. And when I felt pain continually, I'm like, thank you, Father. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Use my situation to let other people see the resurrection life of Christ in me. I wasn't whining. I wasn't crying. And I wasn't depressed. I wanted to glorify God. And so that's what we got to do. What are you facing? What are you struggling with? Maybe it's one of these sins of the flesh. I don't know. Maybe somebody's in the pornography and they're struggling with that. Yeah, believers get caught up in things. I won't mention who it is, but I know there's one person in this church that struggled with that. They're out of it now, as far as I know, but I know they did struggle, and I prayed for them. Because if not for the grace of God, where would I be? So we're going to look at the mechanics, how this works out, of us cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Where do we come in? And what does he do? You have to ask these questions. I like to know the mechanics of things. I'm a dog trainer. I like knowing how a dog thinks, how they associate things. And so he goes, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime or once walked when you lived in them. So we were that way too in time past, right? But now you are to put off. So who's supposed to put it off? Who does Paul say? What's
you?
That's us. You're a very intelligent man, Bill. If not for her, where would you be? But now, ye also put off all these. What? Tell me you don't struggle with these things sometimes. Anger. Anybody angry lately about anything?
No.
Go on Facebook and see the angry people. I'm not going to even say what it's about. Wrath. Malice. I'm going to get you back.
No.
Where's the forgiveness here? Right? blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I know a lot of Christians that don't think there's nothing wrong with swearing. That's filthy communication. That's not who you are. Guess who? Where that's coming from? Your flesh. And we got to realize that. That's why we got to know our identity. It's like, wait a minute, that ain't me. And we'll see, I reckon myself dead to sin, that sin nature, and alive to God. You present yourself to God. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have need, put off the old man with his deeds. Listen to this, and have put on what? Paul, you says we got to put it off. Now you're saying, I've already put on. I'm getting confused. It's not confusing when you study the issue out, and we'll look at that. When did you put it on? We're going to, in a minute, go to Romans 6, and we'll see. And have put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. You know, you can kind of tell when you get around believers, sort of who's really probably been into the Word and studying, because they talk about spiritual things. And then you can sort of sense, in a way, those who all they want to talk about is things in the world. Might be, you know, sports, whatever, their cat, you know, dogs, Facebook. But you know what? So important to get into the Word. It's okay to talk about other things, you know. Sometimes people, I think they're trying to act so spiritual, that's all they'll talk about, is maybe spiritual matters. And then unbelievers can't even relate to them because they're just, you know, holy moly, you know. So we have, you know, in order to reach where an unbeliever can relate to us, Chad, we talked to him about the Bears, the White Sox. I wouldn't talk to him about the Packers if you're in Chicago. If you're in Green Bay, yeah. Touche, Pastor. That one's for you. My wife's a Packer. Stan. Anyway. So first we need to know who we are in Christ, our identity, right? And our position before God. That's our positional sanctification. We got to know we're complete in Christ. We got to know we're indwelled with Christ's Spirit, right? Because that's where the power comes from. This power of a spiritual walk. It's through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes really dividers, you know, because the excesses in Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement, and they say, oh, they're giving credit with this crazy stuff. It's the Holy Spirit. So sometimes rightly dividers, if you want, go to this side, and they don't hardly discuss Holy Spirit. I did a series when I was doing the Thursday Bible study here on the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life in the dispensation of grace we live in. So let's go to Philippians 2, 12 to 13, and then we're going to go to Romans 6. So one book back, Philippians 2. Like I said, there's a balance here of not depending on ourselves to live this Christian life in our own resources, but on cooperating with the Holy Spirit, or adjustment to the Holy Spirit. What did I say? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And I shall pass. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Listen to this now, because here's that sort of, you'll see. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The idea with awe. You know why? Because it's God. Look at the next verse. Do you notice he didn't say work for? He said work out. What's true inwardly, let it be worked out. And why with fear and trembling, the idea? Because it's God. It's God who's working in you. It's awe. It's this high respect. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So see, it's God in us by his Spirit working in us, right? He doesn't overrule our will. He's working within our will. But our will is where we come in at. Go to Romans 6. I'm going to try and get in 1 to 14. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. This is what God did. This is part of our identity. This is where we began in Christ, the moment we believed. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because ain't that what a lot of people will accuse you if you're teaching grace? Oh, you're just saying I can just go kill somebody and I'm still forgiven? And I always ask, do you want to kill somebody? If you thought you were forgiven, would you? You mean to tell me you would want to kill somebody? Oh, not me, brother. I'm too holy for that. But you would. And there shall be light. What's it say? God forbid. My New King James says never, never, certainly not. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in any longer in it? How are we dead to sin? You feel dead to sin? When you're getting tempted, you feel dead to sin? See, does God ever say we live by feelings?
No.
Live by sight? He says we live by faith, not by sight. There's a big difference, right? Feelings is your emotions or desires are going to respond to what you're thinking. That's why if you've got stinking thinking, stinking desires. If you have transformed thinking, you're going to have transformed desires. Know ye not. Paul's going to explain to us now. When did that happen? Know ye not. So don't you know something? That so many of us, as we're baptized, that's no water. You place water in this, like the denominations will. They'll say, oh, that's a picture. And it's Paul's teaching here. No, it ain't. Baptized, or in the Greek, would be baptismo, I believe the Greek word is. And it means being placed into or identified with. Like you take a white handkerchief, place it in red dye, now it's red. It's identified with the red, no longer with the white, right? So this is a spiritual baptism. We're baptized, what? By the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It says, know ye not that as many as us were the idea, baptized, placed into, or identified with, or united into Jesus Christ, were baptized or placed into his death. The moment you trusted in Christ, God identified you with Christ's death. And you'll see his burial and his resurrection. He took you out of Adam when we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature. What does Paul say? God made you alive. Praise God. There's a lot of living dead running around. Know that? Remember the Night of the Living Dead, that movie? I think they got a new series on it or something now, but they were all walking around. Right? That's unsaved people. The day of the living dead. And what happened? The moment you trusted Christ, see, you identified yourself with Christ's death. I trust he did that for me. He's died for my sins. That moment God took you out of Adam. He buried you with Christ, we'll see. And then you rose with Christ. And you know you rose with Christ all the way to heaven? Because we're seated there now with him, positionally, at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. High above all principalities and powers and mights. That's why Satan don't like when you teach the mystery. and you teach grace, because people start learning who they are in Christ. They start getting freed. They start having joy and peace. He don't want that. He wants the weak, carnal churches and individuals. He said, know ye not that as many as us were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death, because he died our death, right? He had no sin of his own to die for. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. Okay, was Christ buried in water? He was buried in a tomb, so this has nothing to do with water. See how Satan's subtle in the denominational doctrines to make people not see what this is truly about? And just like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now that's just not talking about stop doing this and start doing that. You know what newness of life is? You know what that word? That's why I love going to the Greek when I study. It's Zoe. It means the same quality of life, spiritual life that God has. Christ's spirit in us now. He gave us that life. We have spiritual life. We have the spiritual DNA of God. And so we walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as we depend upon Christ in us. As you appropriate by faith, like I did in the hospital, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What are you facing? What temptation? What in your life are you facing? Then you have to learn on your own, and this is where our will comes in, don't it? We choose to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We choose to say, no, that ain't me when I get these thoughts. Lord, I'm a new creation in you. I'm holy without blemish. And that new nature that you have only wants to serve God. Like I said, we're not going to get anything inward more at the rapture. You know that? You got everything right now that you need for life and godliness. And we have the Word of God to teach us it, rightly divided. You're just going to get a new body that won't have a sin nature. But God's equipped us with the total victory program, I've heard it put, right now. And the more we apply this truth to our lives, appropriate by faith, the more we grow, the more it shows in our life, the more people see Christ in us. As we just behold him, we're focused on him, not us, and our failures, and we keep pressing on in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, there, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, look how logical Paul is, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, see, you got to know some things. That our old man is crucified with him. You died to who you were. Them sinful thoughts that come from that flesh, that sinful nature in us, ain't you no more. And you got to realize that. And you got to appropriate it. And by an act of your will, you got to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. That's where our will comes in. And guess what? When you do that, the Holy Spirit makes it real in your experience. You want some Holy Ghost experience? Like the Pentecostals do? There is a Holy Ghost experience. It's walking under grace. It's not walking under law. Knowing that this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, that idea doesn't mean it's not there. In the Greek, it's the same word in Hebrews 2:14 when it said Satan was destroyed. Christ destroyed Satan, right? Is Satan don't exist no more? He's doing very well in this world. Turn on 6 o'clock news, right? But his power's been broke. So the blood of Christ forgave all of our sins, past, present, and future. And his cross breaks the power of sin. It broke the power of sin. And we appropriate that by faith. See, God's not going to force us. He's working in us both to will and to do, but he's not going to overrule your will. It's what we choose. Do we desire to do God's will? And your new nature wants to. Just keep feeding it with the Word of God. Because that the Word of God that worketh in you energizes you, spiritually energizes. Knowing this, that our old man, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And hence, we should not serve sin. That's another reason Christ died, to free us from sin. Free us from the condemnation of sin. Give us, what's the saying here? There's a verse in Hebrews, and I can't think. Anyway, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Did you die with Christ? Then you're freed from sin. That's living by faith, huh? Not by sight. Sight is, I'm being tempted by sin. Oh, I'm struggling with this sin. You know, if we'll do it God's way, it's not that, you know, because Satan works with flesh, so there's these battles, right? But if you want to be victorious in it, we have to appropriate these truths by faith. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. That in that he liveth unto God. So likewise, in the same way, reckon. That means calculate the facts. Rely on them. Count on them. That's the idea of reckoning. When you get tempted, you say, no, I reckon myself. I died with Christ. That ain't me. I know where that's coming from. Thank you, Father, you freed me. Present yourself to God. Likewise, also, see, that's where our will comes in. By our will, we have to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Why shouldn't you let sin reign, that sin nature? Because you don't have to. You've been freed. You want to stay in your prison cell? Have at it. God wants you to get out there. Get out there and tell other people about that freedom in Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Obey it in the lust thereof. Neither the idea yield, offer, present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Don't let that sin nature and Satan through the sin nature reign in your life. But yield or present yourself unto God as those, as what? Those who are alive from the dead, because that's what happened to you. You're spiritually alive. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we don't want to allow that sin nature to express itself out of us. We want Christ in us through our new nature, his Holy Spirit to produce fruit, and Christ to express his life out of us. Don't you? Everybody should have said aloud, amen.
Amen.
If not, get into the Word. I'm going to end it with this verse. For sin, that's the nature, shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. Amen. Study God's grace. Grow in God's grace. Apply God's grace. And you'll find then sins of the flesh start just popping off in our lives. You grow. Were you saying something? Oh. Huh? Oh, the song. She's reminding me. All right. I'll say a prayer first, and then we'll do the song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have access to you through the blood of Christ. Thank you for this freedom we have from the sin nature, from Satan. We're no longer under his authority. We've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of the, of Light, the kingdom of light, because we're in Christ. Father, I thank you that you're working in our will. I thank you we don't got to depend on ourselves to produce and resist in our own strength. But we can appropriate what Christ, that we can live our lives from a position of victory in Christ. Help us all, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to desire that. I thank you that you're working in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. I pray, Father, if there's one, maybe they didn't understand a word of what I was saying today because they've never trusted in your Son. And spiritual things are spiritually understood or discerned. And I pray that today they would trust that Christ died personally for their sins and that they would receive all the benefits of what Christ did and that you would give them the gift of spiritual eternal life, Father. And Father, I just pray for us that as we leave this place today, we realize we're going into the mission field. And may your Spirit cause us to redeem, desire to redeem the time. In Jesus' name I pray.